Welcome, my friend. You are listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 138.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, hey, what's going on here? Another masterclass coming at you here. And I got Brent Daniels as today's guest expert. Guys, if Brent, I feel like, has kind of burst onto the scene. He's the lead coach for Wholesaling Inc. and also the founder of Offer Arizona. So he's actually in one of the most competitive, one of the hottest markets in Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't know anybody that has built a seven-figure wholesaling business specifically from the cold calling system that he's developed. And so I got Brent on today, and we're going to talk about cold calling, and we're covering everything from, you know, what list is he cold calling? How is he getting 90% accuracy on as far as the, you know, the phone numbers and just accurate data that you or your cold callers can rely on? So we talk about the mentality you have to have when you're going to cold call, how to overcome any potential fear or anxiety you might have as it relates to cold calling. You know, we talk about even the hiring process, like where is he finding? He's got four part-time rock star cold callers. Where did he find them? How do you make sure that you have the right person? He talks about compensation, how he trains them. We also even talk about the key performance indicators, right? So what are the important numbers and metrics that you have to track when it comes to cold calling? All right. So guys, if you think you can learn, you know, from someone that did over 70 deals in a 1 year period, you know, made just over $1 million off from the cold calling marketing channel, then listen in. That's what this particular episode is going to be all about. So I'm excited for you to check this one out. And, you know, we got started cold calling not that long ago, 5-6 months ago, and we've seen some massive results from it. And so I picked up a few things on this particular episode as well. And I think you're going to enjoy it and take a lot from it. So let's just jump right into it. Brent, it is awesome to have you on the show. What's going on, man?
Hey, it is great to be here. I really appreciate it, Alex.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And you, just so you know, man, I appreciate how easy you've made this. Like, you and I had never really spoken before. I reached out to you on Facebook and I'm like, man, I've been hearing really good things about you and, you know, how you're getting deals. I'd love to have you on the show. And you were like, dude, I'm all about it. Let's do it. And here we are, like, I think less than a week later.
Absolutely. Well, it's exciting. You know, you've got a great platform. You got a great audience. So I'm excited to give any value that I can. Hopefully it's somebody can take something from it and put it into action and do well. So
yeah, buddy. Well, that's what it's all about, man. It's you know, we want to try to deliver as much value as possible. And so, guys, if you're new listening to the show, one of the things I always talk about is speed of implementation. I appreciate you spending the next 30, 45 minutes with Brent and I, but you know, you're not doing us any favors, and you're certainly not doing yourself any favors if you don't implement at least one thing that we share with you today. So that's really what I want to challenge you with. Brent, just so you know, if you heard the intro, you know, just cold calling alone, he did over $1 million in revenue. And Brent, correct me if I'm wrong. Do I have those numbers right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Just over $1 million from June. I should update this because that was from June 16 to June 17. But we had a wonderful July this year as well. So it's a little bit more than that. But yeah, cold calling has been our foundation for sure. I mean, our philosophy is very simple. It's something called TTP, which just stands for talk to people. We really believe, Alex, and I know that you can confirm this to your audience, but you're literally just one conversation away, one conversation away from 10,000, 20,000. I mean, 70,000. I mean, we've had a conversation, we made 71,000 and it was one conversation. So it's the philosophy of talking to people is our bedrock. It's our foundation. And that's what we run our whole business on. How many people can we talk to and how often can we talk to them?
I absolutely love it. And you know why I'm really excited about this particular particular episode, because I'm going to be, you know, you're listening in. I'm sitting right next to you, kind of taking notes from Brent, because I certainly haven't done seven figures just cold calling. And, you know, we picked up cold calling using Mojo Sells. And I think that's one of the tools that Brent uses, which we'll talk about. We picked it up not that long ago, maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago. And we've done some deals. Our biggest deal to date was a deal that we netted $58,300 from a cold call to a vacant list. And so I feel like we're just, you know, my team and I, we're just starting to scratch the surface with that. But Brent obviously has a system that he's got it dialed in. And so this particular masterclass is going to be all about cold calling. And so Brent, man, hopefully you don't mind if I just kind of, you know, drill you with some questions here, because I've had a lot of people reach out to me over the course of the last few months asking me specific questions about cold calling and how to be very efficient with it.
Sure. I love it. Yeah. Rock and roll. Let's do it.
Fantastic, buddy. So, I already talked about your intro, so I don't want to spend too much time about like how you got started in the business and all of that. But what I do want to know is, how did you come across like the niche of cold calling? Because most people are out there, you know, preaching direct mail, and I'm a big fan of direct mail. We've done a lot of deals from it. But I don't know that many people that hang their hat specifically on cold calling and have just, you know, been very successful with it. So how'd you end up kind of figuring out that cold calling was your bread and butter?
It's very simple, Alex. It's, I didn't have a marketing budget, right? So what I did is I was out, you know, like a lot of new people are out there. They see, you know, rundown properties. They go and they knock on the door. Most of the time somebody's not there, but you kind of knock on the neighbor's doors and see if anybody has any information about the property that, you know, just needs a lot of love. It's sitting there vacant, or it's sitting there just, you know, just completely abused and just beat up. And, you know, so just going around, I found that either neighbors or caretakers or somebody wanted that house to be fixed up, and they had the contact info for the seller or the owner. I'm sorry, the actual owner. So I would hand dial them. I would call them up. I'd leave them messages until they called me back, you know. And I found the power of just communicating over the phone, especially with out of state owners or people that, you know, they've written off the property. They don't think anybody wants it. And then all of a sudden I come along with a conversational style call. And, you know, they're willing to sell the property, and we work on the terms. So it really, I mean, fundamentally, it came out of, I just didn't have a marketing budget. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in real estate for a while, and the crash certainly impacted me and impacted a lot of people, I'm sure, listening. And I just didn't want to commit huge amounts of money to real estate, to be honest with you. So I just, and I didn't have it. So yeah, let's be clear.
I got you.
I didn't have a huge marketing budget, and here in my market, you have to have a pretty heavy, significant budget to get anywhere with direct mail or pay-per-click. So really, it came out of necessity. I didn't have the budget to do it. So I went out and I just wanted to be proactive and call up people. So I found that getting their phone numbers was the best way.
That's fantastic. And I think a lot of people listening to you right now can relate, because a lot of people just don't have, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to spend on direct mail. And you know, hopefully this is resonating with you, because Brent is in Phoenix, Arizona, which I think is one of the most competitive markets in the country. And so, like you said, this kind of came up from necessity, and you went out there and you made it happen. Before we kind of get into, you know, the meat and potatoes of cold calling, I want to kind of remove a mental block that I think some people listening in might have, and that's any fear associated with picking up the phone and calling a complete stranger. And, you know, so let's try to take that off the table. Do you have any advice for people that are just hesitant to, like, maybe they just don't have that confidence, or they don't have the personality to just, for me, I don't care. I can do that all day long. And obviously you're the same, but mm-hmm. for anybody out there that's just kind of getting hung up on the thought of cold calling for whatever reason, any advice you have to try to eliminate that fear?
Sure. Well, the first thing, Alex, is, when you make a cold call, you are literally inviting yourself into somebody's life unannounced, right? So they absolutely have the right to be mad or to reject or you know, just not have that, you know, positive vibe, and you get that. And if you know that going into it, you know that with the right With the right things to say, you can make people comfortable off the bat. Now, can you make everybody? No, absolutely not. But you're not trying to – this is an exercise of trying to find the right people to work with. It's not trying to convince people that to have a conversation with you or anything like that. So you'd be amazed. I mean, you're just a human reaching out to another human, and most people, honestly, most people in our experience, after 1.5 million phone calls that we've done, most people are pleasant. You know, there's certain people are going to, not be very positive about it or be angry about it. But I mean, that's with anything, you know.
Right.
So I think really it just comes down to doing it. First of all, once you start having a lot of conversations with strangers, you get more comfortable with it. It's an exercise like anything else. It's a muscle like anything else. So you build up your endurance for talking to strangers. I mean, we haven't been, it's not like we took a class in high school on how to go up and talk to strangers,
right,
and see if they want to, sell something that they own. So it's a little bit awkward in the beginning, but once you get past it, it's a skill that you have for life. I mean, this does not go away, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, once you have that experience of speaking to strangers and just being conversational and being, positive and enthusiastic and really just focusing on them, people really open up to you. So,
Yeah, you nailed it. And I want to kind of highlight something you said towards the end there. I think the operative words, the key takeaway for me is focus on them. I think you take a lot of pressure off yourself when you think of cold calling. If you just think you're just reaching out to someone to see if they might have an interest in possibly selling or receiving an offer, and just focus on them. Like, if you really believe in your service and what you do and the value that you can provide to some of these homeowners, then I feel like it just takes the pressure off. Don't view it as a sales call that's like all high pressure. Just put the focus on them, like you just highlighted. And I think that, that could ease people's concerns if that concern exists about cold calling. So I'm glad you said that, man.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people around the country that have never made a cold call in their life. And once they get started, they're like, oh my gosh, like I had this unbelievable conversation. I just got so pumped up afterwards. Like after I get done with like an hour of calling, I just feel so accomplished. I feel so great. Like I'm doing something, I'm not just waiting around. So there's the psychological proactive part of that as well, that, you wake up in the morning, what you have to do that day, and you go and do it. And that's just those little wins, Alex.
Yep.
Little wins just build and build and build. And all of a sudden you have confidence, and all of a sudden you have, enough endurance and enough skills that you feel great. And you just do it every single day. And then at some point you can either bring people to do it with you, or, you get into a group that does it and get supported. So it's exciting. It's an exciting revenue stream or a marketing channel, I should say.
Yeah.
It's definitely not waiting around for calls. It's definitely, going out and proactively talking to people.
That's right. So let's kind of start from one of the beginning points. First of all, what list are you calling, and how are you getting the phone numbers for those lists? Are you just skip tracing, or are you taking a list that you would have sent the direct mail campaign to? And in addition to that, or maybe to, supplement that, you're skip tracing and then calling these people, or like talk to us about the list that you target and how you're getting the phone numbers.
Sure. So, it's the bread and butter lists that everyone around the country is mailing to and trying to target, build avatars on Facebook and Google for. It's the tired landlords, it's probates, it's tax defaults, it's pre-foreclosures in some markets not. It is the owner equity list. I mean, what you want to focus on when you're starting out, and this is something that took me some time to figure out, but you want to stay in the distressed bucket. You want to call the list that are most likely to have the motivated sellers. If you just pick up the phone book and start making calls, it's going to be tough chopping.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's any of the lists that you would be instructed to get by any of the great coaches around the country. You can go online and see, and I'm sure you've got a ton of information on which list to market to.
Mm-hmm.
It's any of those. And, it's really interesting. A lot of people don't call them. So what we do is we take those lists and we skip trace them. Skip tracing, for anybody out there, is just basically sending in a list of an Excel list of addresses to certain companies, data providers around the country that would match those addresses up to the phone numbers of the owners. And then from there, it's just calling them.
Okay. And what we use TLO right now. Do you mind sharing any resources or services that people can use to skip trace?
Yeah, we use LexisNexis, the Accurint product. Mm-hmm. It seems we do a lot of bulk searches, so we do 10,000 addresses a month. So they're very, very efficient, and the information is very solid. So okay. One thing that I've figured out, I've tried everything to get inexpensive phone numbers, everything. And I'm telling you, if it's cheap numbers, they're going to be bad.
Yeah, you get what you pay for, right?
For sure. So I would, for your audience, they need to budget anywhere from 15 to 30 cents an address for accurate phone numbers.
Okay, got it. And so you're using, I've never used LexisNexis, so you mentioned something about a bulk service. You just send them the spreadsheet and then they do the skip tracing and send you back a fresh spreadsheet with phone numbers attached to the addresses?
Yeah, it takes like 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. Fantastic, yep. Man. Yeah, because I got to tell you, man, for us, that's kind of a bottleneck, right? Because we have a virtual assistant in the Philippines that's actually manually doing it. And there's no way I could send her a spreadsheet of it'll take her forever in a day, right? So.
Well, the nice thing about virtual assistants or somebody that I call a freelance skip tracer is that you don't have to go through all of the qualifications to get the account. You know, with these skip tracing companies, you do have to have they look into making sure you have an office, making sure you have an office that locks, and make sure that you have a filing cabinet that locks. They come to your house, they do a site inspection. So there's a lot of things that go on there. Yeah. Certainly, if you're one of the bigger guys around the country, do it, because you guys have the office, you have a website, you have a commercial lease. We're kind of getting into the weeds a little bit, but it's definitely something that is very, very efficient, and you can kind of negotiate how much you're paying them. So, and by the way, they're getting more and more competitive because there's more and more companies coming out with this service. So definitely negotiate now for sure.
Okay, very cool, man. So as far as, we talked about the list that you target, how you're getting the phone numbers, which skip tracing, what's the, before you actually dial out, what's the mentality that you need to have? Is it just like we talked about earlier, how can I be of service to the person? How can I focus on them to see if they're even interested? Because I'm guessing people are probably thinking that there's this like super ninja script and a way which I'm guessing, sure. You and I probably know it. That's not the case. It's just a very casual, like you're talking to a friend almost.
Yeah, we have revived and evolved our script, and I think it's just phenomenal. It really helps to get people comfortable as quickly as we can, if we can, right? Mm-hmm. But honestly, before you get on the phone, you got to be in a state where you are kind and optimistic.
Okay.
So you have to have a kind mindset and be optimistic. So it goes back to what you were saying, providing a service for somebody out there and being confident in the service that you have and just being very, very kind to people. Listen, you're going into their lives unannounced. So be very kind and be optimistic. If you're getting on the phone and you're having a bad day and it's just been terrible and you're in this negative space, well, your conversations are going to go that way. Mm-hmm. What I mean?
People are going to feel it.
Yeah, for sure. So, it's just being optimistic. It's making sure that you can, kind of match their tone when they answer the phone. You can pace the conversation based on, what personality style they are. If they talk a little bit slower or if they talk really fast or they just want you to get to the point. It's some key indicators on what kind of personality you're dealing with, not dealing with, but that you're talking with on the other line. So there's definitely skill involved for sure. And it takes some time to develop it, but once you understand who you're talking to, you can cater the conversation and the tone and the pace and how quickly you get to the point based on that.
Yep, exactly. When somebody picks up, like, how do you recommend they launch into that phone call? Like, if we were, I don't want to role play an entire call, but maybe just the first 10, 15 seconds. So you cold call me, I pick up the phone. Like, what's your kind of I hate to use the word pitch, but how do you open the call? How do you suggest people go about and like tell, because what I have found is if you tell people who you are and why you're calling right off the bat, they're less likely to want to like, I don't know, I can sniff out a cold call a mile away and my guard automatically goes up, right? And I think a lot of people can probably relate. So how do you kind of break through that once somebody picks up the phone?
Well, there's a couple things there. So, you know, just to kind of role play it a little bit, I would just call you up and say, hi, I'm looking for Alex.
Yeah, speaking.
Yeah, hi, Alex. My name is Brent, and I know this call is completely out of the blue, but I was actually calling about a property I believe you own on 123 West Main Street.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually wanted to see if you would consider an offer on that property.
Got it. That's it.
And then from there, Alex, you can only give me one of six responses, which is no, which is very common. Yes, which is great. How much, right? Mm-hmm. How much are you going to give me? How'd you get my number, mm-hmm. right? Who is this? Right. And then maybe, well, maybe, you know, I've been thinking about it, but maybe not right now. Maybe follow up with me later. So as long as you know the responses to those six responses that they give you, then you can keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
You know? And if you can't, you want to get out of that conversation because they're not interested and you get it. So you just move on to the next one.
Yeah. So let's address two of those objections because we hear them all the time. And I'm just curious how you handle them. The how'd you get my number or, you know, how do you, you know, do you see my house for sale somewhere online? We get that a lot. You know, who are you? Like, how do you go?
Sure.
How do you handle those particular objections?
Yeah, so when they ask, you know, how'd you get my number? I'm just honest with them. I say, you know what? I have a internet company called LexisNexis that I send Excel sheet full of addresses to them, and if they have phone numbers, they send it back to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not really sure how they get the numbers, but yeah, that's it.
Got it.
Would you consider an offer? You know?
Yeah, and then, you just roll right into the next question. You don't even like spend too much time on it.
Right. And then if they want to know who I am, then I just say, you know what, I'm a real estate buyer in the market and I'm just looking to buy a home in the area. And I wanted to see if you would consider a cash offer on your property.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Brent, because I know that you have a couple of guys. How many, like, what does your team look like? Because I think I may have heard that you have a couple of like dedicated phone dialers and cold callers.
Right. So at this point, we have four part-time people. I really think that it's important to go part-time. I think that after 3 or 4 hours, 4 hours the max, I think 3 hours is the sweet spot.
They get burned
after
out?
3 hours, you get burned out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got it. Okay. And so are you guys basically trying to do deals over the phone or are they just teeing it up for like an acquisitions manager that you might have?
Yeah, they tee it up for my acquisition manager for
okay.
sure. So
okay.
they find the people that say yes or maybe to the conversation and then pass it on to my phenomenal acquisition managers. And then from there, they just nurture it until, you know, we can get the contract signed.
Okay, perfect. And are you having your cold callers, Brent, also follow up on those leads or are they just basic? Like, in other words, once they kick it over to the acquisitions manager, is it off their plate forever and their focus is just cold calling new leads or how does that process work as far as the follow-up is concerned?
Yeah, they're constantly just hunting, right? So they are, once they have the initial conversation, they will pass it off.
Okay, got it. And if they don't reach a person, is there a particular like follow-up schedule that you have them hit that list again?
Yeah, you know, we try to go through the list three times, you know, to get a hold of people. The first time through a list, you're going to get a hold of the most. And then the second and third time, it's a little bit less. So if somebody doesn't answer, we'll just keep calling until we get a hold of them, you know, a couple, three times. If we can't, then we'll move on.
Yep, exactly. Okay, cool.
I mean, and that depends, right, Alex? So if it's a very specific hot list that we know, let's say it's a vacant house list, let's say it's a probate list, the really, really, really good lists. I mean, contacts per deals is really high on these. We will leave messages. We will call them. We will hand dial them. We will take it very slow with them and to call them until we get a hold of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with some of the general non-owner occupied or especially with owner equity lists, we'll run through those pretty quick and then move on and try to get a hold of as many people as possible. But with the really, really, really hot list, the really specific lists, we will call and we will leave messages and we will try to talk to them forever.
Okay. And Brent, as far as the KPIs are concerned, and guys, if you've never heard that acronym, it's a key performance indicator. It's basically the metrics, specifically for the cold calling metrics, right? So on average, you know, talk to me about some of the ones that you guys maybe track, like how many dials an hour, how many, you know, how many conversations typically does it get, does it take for you guys to do a deal? What are some of those KPIs you track?
Sure. So, I don't really look at dials, because a dial could go to a wrong number, and it just, because we use the Mojo dialer, it doesn't really make sense. I look at how much time my cold callers are on the logged into Mojo. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. So I don't look at how many numbers we've dialed or anything like that. We look to get 15 to 20 conversations with owners, an hour. Okay. Right. So that'll help us know, you know, how good, our information is, right? How good the numbers are. If we're having, you know, an hour and we talk to two people, we know something's goofy with the phone numbers, and we've tested that, right?
Yeah.
I'm always trying to get my costs down. I'm always trying to see if there's a more affordable way to get, really good numbers. And so far it has not gone well, and my guys get a little frustrated. But it's all about testing and figuring out. So, I look for 15 to 20 conversations an hour. Each list that you call is going to be different. Like our probate in our, what we call it's more commonly known as the driving for dollars list, but we go out and we make sure that we get at least 100 properties that look really rough on the street, and we skip trace those. So those, you know, we're somewhere around, you know, one out of 50 conversations there, we'll get a deal.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, with a general list, with a big list, like an owner equity, or even owner equity is like one out of 600 conversations, right? Uh-huh. So that's why I say definitely stay in the distressed as much as you can. But the more calls you make, the more, you know, you need to have a bigger pool. So, I mean, it really depends. It's list by list, but you really want to just track how many conversations am I having in this list, and that lead to appointments, that lead to contracts, that lead to closings.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Fantastic, man. Let me ask you this, and I should have asked you when we were talking about LexisNexis, what percentage of the phone numbers that you guys get back are you actually finding are accurate phone numbers for these homeowners?
90%.
Really? Wow. That's impressive. Cause yeah, with the service that we use, it's, I'd probably say 50 to 65%, which obviously isn't good. And when you have, I have two acquisitions reps that work the phone, I can attest to the fact that it can get frustrated for them when they're on the phone a couple hours and,
you know,
they're reaching a handful of people and they've been on the phone 2 hours. So, that's a quick way to burn out your people. So the data is so important in just getting accurate information.
Well, and Alex, I would take a look at what, if your VA is really using TLO, they might be using some other service, because TLO should be 90%, 80-90% for sure. And it here's the thing. When we send it in, 70% will come back with phone numbers, and of that, 90% will be correct. So it's not that, you know, we send in 10,000 addresses and we get 10,000, you know, numbers back. You know, 7,000 of those addresses will have numbers, and they'll be very accurate. So I would take a look at what your VA is doing for sure.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Got it. As far as where are you finding your rock star cold callers, can you kind of talk about your hiring process, where you found them, what kind of person? I know you mentioned you look for somebody that's kind and optimistic. Are there any other traits that you look for? Do you kind of run them through maybe like a Colby Index type A test or a DISC or something like that? Talk a little bit about your hiring process.
Yeah, sure. So we'll have them send in the DISC test and take a look at it there. But really it's feel, you know, it's gut and it's feel, and it's just kind of, you know, we have a lot of people approaching us to do it just because we're kind of loud about the fact that we make cold calls. So a lot of people, and we pay really well, you know, we pay $20 an hour, and okay. $20 an hour to work from home is pretty sweet for a lot of people. So it's really just, you know, you got to make sure that you're keeping them accountable, but it's very easy through Mojo to see how many people they're talking to and how many leads they send in and, how much time they're spending on the dialer. So what I find is, you know, most important is, are they actually doing the work, right? Are they actually logging in, making the calls? Because, you know, when you have kind of independent contractors all over the place, you, it's easy for them not to work that day. You know, maybe it's cloudy outside, right? And they don't feel like it, or you know, they're I don't know, just not motivated that day. So it's real important that they are consistent and they get the hours in, and then you can tweak on their skills and work and develop them. So it's been it's pretty, honestly, it's pretty easy to find some people. You just want to find the right people.
Yeah. Are you any particular like resources that you can share where you have, you know, had some good success finding the right kind of people?
Honestly, we have a very specific ad that we put into Craigslist, and we have I have one guy that I found on Upwork that's been with me for over a year,
okay.
Upwork.com. But I've got a very specific ad that pulls really well, and it's been tested around the country and does really well. And then from there, it's Facebook works really well. I mean, honestly, if you're a wholesaler, you're a flipper, or you're a buy and hold guy, whatever it is, and you're not putting stuff on Facebook, I think it's a disservice to yourself. Mm-hmm. To at least talk about it and let people know what you're doing. Because it's going to attract some really interesting people and some really awesome people too, that, you know, they've always wanted to be in real estate, but they don't know how, you know. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's you, Alex, posting on there, there's me posting on there, you know, and people start, you know, messaging you, private messaging you and saying, hey, you know, are you looking for somebody, you know, to mentor? Are you looking for somebody to make some calls? Are you looking for this and that? So it's really not difficult to find them. It's just, training them and keeping them accountable is really important.
Man, that's a perfect segue actually to the next thing I was going to ask you, because accountability is so key when you have a team and when you start hiring and you start building a team. The last thing you want to do is hire someone and just out of sight, out of mind, you assume everything's getting done. I really feel like you have to have some type of accountability in place in order for that person to just kind of, you want to make sure you have the right person, but you also want to hold them accountable. You can't just, just leave them to their, you know, to their doing and just assume that they're doing what they got to do. Aside from checking how much time they spent on there, is there anything else you do, or is that pretty much like the main accountability measure as far as them actually doing the work?
Yeah. I mean, making sure you can look at it. I mean, it's that whole data, not drama conversation, which is, you know, right? So it's how many leads are they sending in and how much time is it taking them and how are those leads converting? So, you know, it's just communicating with the acquisition managers, making sure the acquisition managers communicate with them and say, hey, dude, this isn't a lead. You're sending me like, you know, these people that are saying that they would consider an offer. That's not a lead. You got to dig a little bit more and kind of qualify them better. So it's really working with the acquisition managers. If you're your own acquisition manager, it's just keeping an eye on how the leads are that are coming over. You know, if you've got a lot of leads coming in, but none of them convert, you know that there's not a lot of pre-qualifying there. You know that they're being timid on the phone and they're just sending in things because they feel like, you know, their job is just to send you people that say, you know, yeah, I would consider an offer if it's the right price. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, you know, that may or may not be a lead, but we need to get a little bit more information. So it's really just looking at the data of it, Alex. I mean, it's really just making sure that they hit the goals. They should bring in at least one good lead an hour. And that's what we keep them accountable to. So
one good lead an hour?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Got mm-hmm. it. Are you guys like spot checking any calls? I don't know. Are these being recorded at all or nothing like that?
Recording is a little tricky, and just because you've got a huge audience around the country, I would caution you that some states you can't just record calls, right? So make sure you check with, you know, an attorney on it. Here in Arizona, we're just a one-party state, so we can record calls, but it gets tricky when you call out-of-state owners. So when we know that we're calling people that are local phone numbers, it's fine, but if you're calling, you know, out-of-state owners, it gets We can't do that. So we definitely listen to the calls that we make here, which help out a ton. But again, you know, check with what your state laws are.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, Brett, you and I, we're not attorneys. We're not giving legal advice. So the classic disclaimers, definitely, you know, depending on what state you're in, check with an attorney. Make sure you're not like violating any laws or anything. And that if you're going to record them, you actually legally can. So awesome, Brent. Well, hey, man, I think I've drilled you with probably more questions than maybe I've asked anyone else on the show, man. So definitely appreciate you being so open. Anything in particular that you knowing what you know, you think would be valuable for, you know, somebody listening in to know that maybe I haven't asked you?
No, it comes down to it, guys. I mean, fundamentally, the more people you talk to, the more deals you're going to do. You know, whether that become them calling you or you calling them, you've got the ability. If you've got a proactive spirit, you can talk to people all day, every day, and you're going to do so much business. I firmly believe that you cannot lose, and you're literally one conversation away from changing your business, your life, whatever. Even if you're doing it part-time, you know, it could change. You could make your year salary in one conversation. So I just, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, waiting around for business or going out and getting business, I highly suggest that you do everything you can to go out and get it. And, you know, that's fundamental.
No,
you know?
I love it, man.
And, I don't know if I can pitch my program here, but, you tell me, Alex.
Yeah, man. Yeah. By all means. So we had actually set up a link, Brent, I know you and I didn't get a chance to talk about it, but, if you guys go to, and I think it's to set up an appointment to talk to you guys about, cause I know now you're coaching with Wholesaling Inc, right?
I am. Yeah. It's Wholesaling Inc. is phenomenal. Tom Kroll and Cody Hoffine. And it's just a phenomenal company and coaching program. It's something that I've been a student of. And also I was able to put together a TTP program where, you know, I am just looking for 100. I've got 20 now. I'm looking for 100 of, you know, the most proactive kind of just absolute crazy people out there that are ready to commit to cold calling in their business. It's a situation where I teach everything that I do in my business. And more importantly, kind of going back to what you were saying, it's an accountability group. You know, it's an accountability that I have with my students and also that they have with each other.
Yep.
It's an incredible group so far. So, I think the link should be somewhere, right?
Yeah. It'll be in the show notes page. If you guys go to flipempire.com/TTP, and that's TTP for talk to people, you guys can get, well, you'll get directed over to Brent and his team, and you can find out more about that. So, very, very cool, man. So yeah, if you guys want more information, go to flipempire.com/TTP, and that'll be in the show notes page as well. You can connect with Brent and his team, this is awesome. I mean, I got to tell you, this is an area that I haven't been as excited about a particular marketing channel as I am with cold calling, because we haven't been doing it that long and we've seen some massive results from it.
For sure.
And I know that, again, I really feel like, you know, we're just kind of scratching the surface. And so I think it's a numbers game. You just got to go out there, do it. Definitely use a tool like Mojo Sells. But if for whatever reason, you know, the $150 a month, if that's a challenge, then don't let that stop you. Just pick up the phone the old way, like people used to do back in the day. Forget about the tools. And yeah, it's going to take you longer, but who cares? I mean, if you're dedicated, if you know what you want and why you want it, you're going to go out there and make it happen. So, Brent, this has been awesome, man. I don't know if you have anything else, but this has been great. Appreciate you allowing me to kind of pepper you with questions here. And
it's been great. No. I really appreciate it. And I hope there was some value there. And you've been great. Great, great questions, Alex.
Very cool. Again, guys, if you guys want to connect with Brent, find out more about the TTP program, go to flipempire.com/TTP. And reach out to me if you guys have any questions, anything in particular about how we're using Mojo, you know, what we've done that is working when it comes to cold calling, what hasn't worked. I'm happy to answer any questions from my perspective, but definitely connect with Brent. You know, to have done, you know, more than seven figures just from cold calling is pretty impressive. And obviously, you know, he's nailed it and he's got that system down. So I'd encourage you guys to connect with him. But Brent, man, this has been awesome, dude. I know you and I will stay in contact. I think it's all about building relationships. So anything you guys need, you let me know. And yeah, man, I look forward to watching your growth as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Alex.
All right. Take care, guys. And hey, listen, I want to encourage you, make sure you tune in to this Thursday's Q&A. And then we got an awesome masterclass coming up next week. So any questions you guys have, feel free to reach out to me and I'll catch you on the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.